The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat Podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Cincinnati.com beat writers Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ozarski take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. Welcome into the latest edition of the BBP. It is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by 50 West Brewing Company. It's all new. Got a new open.
Yeah.
You got new pants. we're in a new location.
Yeah.
New season. Same
coach.
Same coach.
Owner.
Same owner.
Quarterback.
Same quarterback. But everything else is new.
Right tackle?
Different. No.
Could be a new old right tackle.
Old new to you.
New to you.
New to you. Well. It's thrift store new.
Yeah.
You know? But what's old is new. That's what it is. Well, anyway, welcome into the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Paul Diener Jr. I'm here with Jim Ozarski. As always, it is a fresh new season, so today we're in a new location. I didn't mention our new location. We're kicking it on my back deck right now. We're hoping no dogs bark.
Right.
Because we know that there's one thing that you cannot do.
I know.
On the BBP is have a dog barking in the background.
But I'm curious if the ambient noise will help.
I think it'll soothe people.
It will soothe people.
Birds chirping.
Yeah.
I have a soothing back deck until someone fires up a lawnmower. Birds are chirping, you know. Some crickets.
Yeah.
There's, you know, the puttering of people walking down a nearby path. I mean, there's lots there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're kicking on the back deck. Midway through, I'm going to fire the grill up. I'll do that live.
I'll do it live.
I'm going to do it live. That's right. I'm going to fire the grill up, get some pork tenderloin on that baby.
There you go.
Before long. Let's talk Bengals.
Yep.
Mock turtle soup was today. And so that kind of is the kickoff of the new season. Wednesday, veterans will officially report. Thursday, it'll be practice time.
Yeah.
Saturday, it'll be real practice time for the first time when they go full pads. Any reaction to anything today? Mike Brown obviously speaks. Marvin Lewis speaks. Duke Tobin spoke. Terrell Austin, Bill Lazor, Darren Simmons. All went around and went through the junket. Did anything stick out to you?
Two things. One, the addition of Duke Tobin to this event.
Mm-hmm.
Duke has become more of a face the last few years at the sort of national NFL events, right? The Combine. Owners meeting this past spring because Mike was out. I was on the PUP.
Right.
And so Duke continued that today with his availability. And I think, you know, I think for the fans it's important. You know, I mean, obviously he came and he did this podcast, the live BBP at 50 West.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to, personnel decisions, contracts, he's a good person to have out there. So that there was that. Because, this was his first
time. That was the first time
going through.
Yeah, he's not done that before.
And then the other one, Paul, was the it's all the same, but it's new. Some of it was new, obviously, Bill Lazor, Terrell Austin, but then the same of Marvin and Andy, but they're going to be new because Bill's New.
Well, his stuff.
But Marvin's
new.
Old.
Marvin's old.
And Andy. And Andy's.
Andy's getting old.
And they're in their eighth year. This is their eighth year together.
8 years together. Yeah. Think about that. That's. It does not happen very often for people that don't have rings on their fingers.
No. Actually, like.
Preview.
Yeah.
Preview.
It's like really rare for that to happen.
You may be listening to this and the story may actually already be out. Depending on when you listen to this.
Right.
Jim has a incredible story on Marvin and Andy and the unprecedented would be a word that you could use.
Yeah.
Thing that they're going to attempt.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen that coaches and quarterbacks are together this long and suddenly find it.
Right. Yeah. In fact, it has not happened since the merger. For them to do it this year, which is what obviously Mike Brown, as he says, we'll hear from Mike later, I put my bet down on Marvin Lewis. The return is going to have to be great because since the merger, Paul, it has never happened. A coach quarterback that have been together for 8 years winning their first playoff game. Usually that happens well before year eight.
It's also never happened that a coach has lost his first seven playoff games.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all kind of comes with the territory.
Right,
it does.
Yeah, when that stacks up, you know, it's all of those are bad. Like Andy at 0-4, no other active quarterback has that many playoff starts and has not won.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it you know, but they're betting on.
What are they history. Betting on? Jim, what are they betting on?
Doing the improbable.
Doing the never done.
Doing the making NFL history.
50 plus years of NFL history.
Right.
Doing something that's never been done in their time. That's their path.
Yeah.
Robert Frost, didn't he say that you should take the road less traveled?
He did. Yeah. And
Mike's probably a big Robert Frost fan. I can see that. Absolutely. Well read.
Yeah, he is.
Absolutely. Did you give me two things or was that one thing?
I don't remember.
No, you gave me two because you said Duke two.
Yeah.
I will say something that stuck out to me a little bit from hearing from everybody today is also Andy Dalton related.
Yeah.
And that is how many people were willing to say, and I'm not going to say take to task because it didn't come off that way, but point out that Andy Dalton has to be better this year.
Yeah.
And you know, we're so used to hearing protection of the quarterback.
Right.
And, you know, he never does anything wrong, and it's always sort of not Andy's fault. It's everybody else. You know, it was Mike Brown saying Andy Dalton had a rough year of it last year. It was Marvin Lewis again going in on their not doing – anywhere near enough in the vertical passing game.
Yeah.
It was Duke Tobin pointing out, after going through a long list of all the changes and upgrades they believe they've made, saying, but we're only going to go as far as a quarterback can take us. I thought it was very out there. It was very much applying the pressure, not that he shouldn't have pressure applied to him.
You mean Logan Woodside isn't applying pressure?
I don't think they're putting it on Woodside just yet. Where are you at, Woodside?
Suck it, Woodside guy.
Suck it.
Go away.
Go away. Starting out ornery.
Sorry. Yeah.
You're trying to like squash out Woodside guy
before he even grows.
Yeah, you don't want him to gain
that little
steam.
Root, that little seedling.
Yeah, you got to spray that.
Yes.
You got to spray that and you got to dig that ground up.
Yeah.
Don't
sure
let
Logan's
him.
Logan's a nice man, but I don't want Woodside guy.
You don't. No. Chiming in.
But to your, no, anyway.
We want it, by the way.
Departure.
At Jim Ozarski on Twitter, by the way. Hashtag Woodside guy.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
What I'm curious, Paul, is to see how this develops because this will be a storyline. I don't know. I mean, one way or the other, whether Andy Dalton plays well or doesn't. Because what did Bill Lazor say? January 3rd, a lot of the focus was on Marvin being back and Betty Lou from Gold Star wondering about, you know, whatever she cared about. But it was Bill Lazor saying, I'm going to challenge the quarterback.
Yeah.
And make him uncomfortable. And Bill Lazor believes that that is how you get the best out of quarterbacks. Marvin Lewis bought into that. And it's that little bit of Bill Lazor that's the same as Hugh and Jay. In that they're, Hugh, now I wasn't here for Jay, but in 15, Hugh wasn't afraid. In Andy's best year, the one, my first year, for as well as Andy played, Hugh would, on every week, would give Andy a little something. Yeah. Like in our sit downs and our, I mean, he would quick to praise him, but he, you know, there was always a little something there. And obviously Hugh is more bombastic, I guess, but I'm just curious to see how this, if that, okay, it's a unified message.
Yes.
Bill says, okay, I think let's apply some kind of pressure or make him uncomfortable in some kind of way. I don't know.
That has been their message. So for them to come out the first chance to really put that out there,
right.
and everyone, I mean, it was just like that everyone sort of made some kind of comment,
right.
like that. I mean, I could absolutely see them, this being part of the plan. They've said it's going to be, and we'll see how that all plays out.
Right.
But it's, you know, in the way Duke said it is correct, is, look, we did put all these other pieces out there because we know Andy needs to play better, and
right.
we feel like he will play better with the right pieces around him. Now, if they have enough of those is the question, I
right.
guess. I mean, you know, who knows what will all come of that. But, I, you know, that kind of struck me a little bit today. I'm always struck by Mike.
Yeah.
He just doesn't care. Like, he cares. He says something interesting because he's unfiltered.
Yeah.
And that's part of why he only speaks so often.
Right.
People don't necessarily always like what he has to say.
Right.
And it often rubs people the wrong way because he's just going to say the way he feels.
Yeah.
And that usually pisses people off.
Right.
Because it doesn't mesh. And he says it. He said, I can't count how many times today he said, and you know, and I've been taken to task for that, and I may
right.
be wrong, but this is the way that I believe it, and the way I see it, and the way I bet on it, and you know, so you know, he talked about Eric Reed.
Yeah.
He talked about this whole thing with the music venue, and he's just like, I'm not going to apologize for feeling like I'm protecting my fans who I want to have tailgate space. Perhaps those fans of tailgate also like music and might lose this music venue, though, over those tailgate. But that's
right.
a whole separate story. But, you know, Eric Reed, he said, yeah. I asked him if he regretted it. Do I regret that I stepped in it? I think you know the answer to that, was what he had to say. And, you know, he sort of just says it that way. And look, it's read Paul Daugherty's column.
Right.
It's sort of pointing out this is ridiculous. It's everything we just said is what he is betting on is the impossible.
Yeah. The improbable.
The improbable. You're right. Improbable.
The
historically not done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
No, it's true. I mean, you're right, Paul. I mean, it's just like, I mean, we'll get to Mock Turtle Soup and Sherbert and all that other stuff later.
Yes.
But it is that. It is, you know, you're right. It does drive people crazy. I don't know. I mean, but see, to me, when will Mike drift to the endearing part of, do they have to win a Super Bowl? When the tell it like it is becomes endearing as opposed to rubs everyone the wrong way? Like, oh, he tells it like it is. Hey, man, there's people running this country because they tell it like it is.
They tell it like it is.
Right.
Right.
So I'm like,
Mike will, I don't think in this city he will ever be an endearing figure. There was a time when they were kind of in the run of playoff appearances where it was endearing and people were praising him for passing off a lot of the responsibility to Katie and Troy and allowing Duke to do his thing. That's still the case. In fact, more so. I mean, he's not involved in very much of the day-to-day. He makes about 4 to 5 decisions a year, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, big decisions.
Right.
They tend to be very controversial.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. It's true. Like, yeah. Everybody knows that the Marvin decision was Mike's.
Right.
It was those two guys in the room. And so, you know, there may be 100 things that happen on the periphery with this team where they're trying to, but Mike's going to come in and weigh in on the biggest ones, and he's going to take heat for it. I want to real quick just bring in a quick hit of Mike talking about the retaining of Marvin Lewis and his view on that and the criticism he's taken for that a little bit, and just a couple other small things from Mike. So, and then we'll get right back into it. So here's a quick hit here with Bengals president Mike Brown.
You said that you have confidence in Marvin. What, after all these years, gives you that confidence in him still?
Oh, I suppose all these years working together. I know him well. We have been through ups and downs. We have had times when we didn't agree on things, yet we would work through it. I know that last year didn't satisfy our public. I know the year before didn't. We had 5 pretty good years before that. I think I know that the success and failure in this business isn't always the head coach. He's a big part of it, but he's not all of it. And I think that's true when you succeed, and I think that's true when maybe you're a little bit short of what you want to be. So I have come to be a little more patient. Maybe I'm not right. There's people that think that way. I put my bet down. We'll see how it turns out.
Mike, you said to Jim Ozarski last January, quote, "In some ways, ours is a hard market. It's the fact that our people are judgmental about us. They are often easy to condemn when it doesn't go to their standards." Can you kind of amplify on that a little bit? And if they have standards, what are your standards, your expectations?
Well, probably I'd be better not to amplify on that at all. I think our fans are good fans. I think we disappointed them. They let us know it. And we have to win them back. The ways that we can win them back, I think the biggest way is to win on the field. Is that the whole answer? Right now, probably not. But it's the one way that occurs to me as most important of all right now. There are other things that are out there that have hit our public. That's true across the board in football. There are issues that have come onto the scene that people talk about that distract them from the game and the players and focus them on topics that are harmful to football. I guess that's my answer.
A lot of turnover in the coaching staff. What's your level of excitement with respect to how the coaching staff shows?
We have had a dramatic change with our team, and it isn't fully understood. We have changed our whole offensive system. We have changed our defensive system. Usually that's associated with hiring a new head coach. We did it a little bit differently. We brought in new coordinators and let them have their chance at it. This will make us look different. It'll be a challenge to digest for our players. It usually takes a little time. And I will be holding my breath some as we start out with it. There will certainly be a few ups and downs with it. But it should produce real change with the football team. And we're trying to have changed. We're trying to see if something a little different won't be better.
So, yeah, Mike placed his bet.
Yeah.
Some might say don't go to Vegas with that. But unless maybe his bet was just to go over 6.5, which I do stand behind.
Yeah, I'd go over on that one.
I go over 6.5. I would feel pretty confident with the, with that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's his bet. Well, he just didn't say that part. That the bet he placed was Bengals over 6.5. he just decided not to drop that in there. All right. So that's. Do you have any more things to say about the Sherbert Fest today?
No. I mean, other than, I think it'll be interesting to see Terrell Austin and Bill Lazor in action, like with their guys in real practices and pads. Like, we've heard them speak a lot since January, which is great. I think they're kind of ready.
Yeah, I mean, they've had all these plans and all these meetings and all these football and shorts sessions, and now they actually get a chance to see what it looks like for real.
And I don't mean to discount special teams coordinator Darren Simmons. Actually, Paul, it's funny because of he's the same coordinator, but he basically said, everything I've done in my career, I've had to throw away.
Yeah.
He's like, and we'll never do it again. So he's like, he spent all this entire offseason drawing up new schemes.
Yeah.
And new ways to return kicks and block kicks and onside. I mean, so from a coaching perspective, you could argue that guy's got the most work to do.
No doubt. It's going to be real. I mean, this could be, we joke, special teams league. It's special teams league.
Right.
But this year, there's going to be a lot of special teams coordinators who can make a name for themselves because it's going to be the wild, wild west of people trying to figure out ways to take advantage of all these new rules and schemes that there are. And the few that do could gain themselves a pretty significant advantage in these games. I mean, one touchdown here or there could make a difference in a season if you have a coordinator you feel like knows how to take advantage of it. That's why I think from a Bengals perspective, Darren being directly involved in the creation of the new system.
Got him a head start a little bit.
And a real understanding of what it all means. Not that the other guys don't, but, I mean, he was able to work ahead. So, I'm curious to see how that all plays. I think the preseason is going to be wild on special teams. Because everyone's going to be trying stuff.
And that's what he said. He's like, usually, you know, the preseason games, you want to hide things. And he flat out told me at the Mock Turtle event, Paul, he's like, we really probably can't. We're going to have to do some of the stuff. He's like, no matter what we say as coaches, we can't replicate the game on the practice field. He's like, so that'll be really interesting.
Yeah. So that was kind of some of the main points from today's festivities. But we're going to turn our attention more to camp as that gets going. And we'll be back with you with a BBP next week. It'll drop, I guess, Tuesday. Because they go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, off day Tuesday. So we'll wrap up the first 5 days, which tend to be one of the most action-packed 5 days of the year, because you get the pup list, you get the NFI, you get the who's actually kind of hurting we didn't know about, you get the beginning, the first days of putting on pads. So there should be a lot to talk about next week. We'll be back to you with that next Tuesday. Let's just kind of run through some of the camp storylines. We'll play it off this. I wrote the five pressing questions the Bengals must answer in BX this past Saturday. If you want to take a quick look at that, you can at stay.com or pick up our Inquirer Bengals app. It's in there along with all our other stuff that we have going on, which is out of control this time of year. So let's just kind of go through and talk about these five questions.
Okay.
And this kind of connects to what you were just saying, the first one, which is, who is drowning in the new playbooks? You know, one thing I do think that Mike said today that was a little telling was he's talked about how he's going to hold his breath early in the season because there's so much new system stuff happening. And there's going to be growing pains, and that includes in camp. I mean, how quickly guys do or don't get out there and prove that they can do it without not knowing their route or making the wrong blocking assignment is going to go a long way to who actually is out there playing in Indianapolis, because there's a lot of learning and there's a lot of retention, and everyone is learning new here. And so we're going to very much be on the lookout, I would think, for guys who don't know what they're doing, because there's a lot of people trying to figure it out on the fly.
Yeah, I think an easy early prediction between now and the next podcast, Paul, is defense looks better than offense. Lots of interceptions and broken up passes. And a bunch of false starts.
Yeah.
or wait, let's re-huddle. Mm-hmm. I think we can mark that down, Twitters.
Yeah.
And get at me in the next week when you read our three ups and downs and players. Because Terrell Austin said this. He's like, there's cover three, cover two, quarters, man. There's really only so much you can do on defense.
Yeah.
And he's preaching aggression from his DBs. We saw that through the OTAs and whatnot. And I just think, you're right, Paul. I think offensively, it's going to take a little bit for all of that to come together. They look better. I think one of our last BBPs together after the minicamp was how I said the offense looked better at the end than they did the start. Although I think now you've got Billy Price worked in, and let's not discount that. And then whatever's going to happen on the right side too.
Yeah. Especially once they really get going with hitting and stuff. And, you know, they have to find their five, and then they got to get those five to be playing together.
Right.
So there's really only about a 2-week period they've got to find their five, in my opinion. Then you've got to get – by that third preseason game, you want those five playing a half together.
Yes. Yeah, so, you can't do this rotation stuff again.
No,
you can't.
They've got to just figure it out. That means they've got to get after it quick. And with all the new stuff, it's going to be interesting to see how many guys get out there and just – don't know where they're going. It's supposed to be simpler, right? That's the whole thing. So if you get out there and you can't handle this simple stuff, I don't think they're going to trust you when it comes Indianapolis, whether you're Jake Fisher, Cedric Obwehi, or Christian Westerman, Alex Redmond, or whoever the hell you are.
Yeah.
Bobby Hart, whatever.
Don't forget my guy, Justin Murray.
You love Justin Murray. You love bringing him up. Strong Bearcat.
Yeah.
There's a chance he might be the literal first guy off the roster.
No.
He might, by the time people are listening to this, he might already be gone.
No. I'm Justin Murray guy.
You are.
Get at me.
You're Justin Murray guy. Loves Justin Murray, doesn't like Logan Woodside. Why you got to be like that? All right, let's move it on to everybody's favorite topic. Can we do that? Tyler Eifert's health. I mean, it is a question that again, we got to answer it, right?
Well, we can attempt on a daily basis
to answer it.
Yeah.
I do feel like we joke about it that we do need to have a section in our we have the training camp file where it's every day we do our day at camp. It's got the three ups and three downs, and we talk about some of the injuries and you know, a quote of the day and our awesome photos from Sam Green and Kareem Elgazar and all those things. We need to have give us this day our daily Eifert with just whatever he did that day. Tyler Eifert stared at a bike. Tyler Eifert talked to Logan Woodside. Tyler Eifert caught a pass and then sat down and drank Gatorade or whatever. Or Tyler Eifert fully participated and did not get hurt.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It's going to be something we get every – I mean, it's the first tweet of the practice. Is it not?
Yeah. What's going on with 85?
Is he online with everybody else, or is he off to the side? And then maybe the second tweet is, you know, Well, I guess they don't do 11-on-11s right away, but it would be right in there. I mean, people want to know.
Did he participate in 11-on-11s right. or with any of the contact stuff?
Any of the yeah, especially once we get, I would imagine, though, the all joking aside, I would imagine his pad work in terms of contact will be severely limited early, if not the whole thing. Like, I can see him running routes in pads, doing 7-on-7s, but not stuff where he's going to get touched or really
like
banged up.
Contact blocking.
Right. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Right.
But that,
I mean, he's not really, he doesn't really do that in the games, though. Contact blocking.
Sure he does. He blocks.
Does he?
Sometimes. He does. When he's in there, Marvin contends he's their best tight end blocker.
Hey, remember when we did the top five Bengals plays over the summer? Giovanni Bernard.
Giovanni Bernard would contend. Yeah. Certainly giving, on that play, he did not block.
I'm giving Tyler a hard time.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. But we track not just – and it's not just a matter of what is he doing every day. It's how does he look doing it. Yeah. Are we seeing residual effects of all the back stuff?
Yeah. You know? That's a legitimate question. I mean, there's, you know, the Bengals gave him a decent one-year base salary. You know, if he hits certain incentives, he'll be one of the best-paid tight ends in the league. At the end of the year, if he hits all of those markers.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you're right, Paul. I'm curious. I mean, you know, a year ago this time, everybody was feeling good about it. And by the end of the game in week two, that Thursday, it was over.
It was over. He'd stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
And then stepped out for the season.
Yeah.
So, yes, we'll be tracking that. As far as what we know, Tyler tweeted that he's feeling great. Does that mean that he's going to play 16 games and he's in full health? No. Does it mean that he's even going to be a full participant day one? No. He was feeling great in the offseason,
yeah, I mean,
and then he got held out of minicamp.
Yeah, just a quick reminder. I mean, he talked to us and said, I am good to go completely right now. The only reason I'm not doing everything is because they just feel that's the best thing to do. And then, like, he doesn't show up for the indoor or, you know, inside Paul Brown State minicamp. And Marvin's like, well, I don't know if he'll be ready to start the season.
Right.
It was like, whoa, what
like,
happened?
Wait,
and like,
what? Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a whole lot of, like, his people and his program. And there's just a lot of goofy stuff in there. So how that all plays out and what he does, we'll be tracking. And we don't know. Nobody really knows. I don't think anybody really knows. What can we expect from the safety position? And I think this is going to be interesting. You know, we did Lance McAllister's show on 1530 today for an hour, and we mentioned the safety position multiple times, and you mentioned it as veterans who would be best having themselves a nice little camp.
Yeah.
Sean Williams and George Iloka. Look, the pressure has been applied
right.
by this team from the words that they've said with the front office calling them out.
Yeah.
The way that they chased after Kurt Coleman, the way that they used a second-round pick on Jesse Bates. I don't know how many more times they got to say, we are unhappy with the safety position.
Yeah.
And now you've got a guy in Terrell Austin who says the best players are going to play and cares about turnovers, and the safeties haven't gotten enough of those. So I don't think he's going to be shy about giving Jesse Bates a chance.
Yeah, and Jesse Bates, for what it's worth, did get an early shot. Sean Williams didn't participate in the 11s
right.
all through the spring session with a soft tissue injury in his legs, one of the legs or whatever. I mean, Sean, it was funny when I talked to him, I was kind of a little peeved by that.
Yeah.
He was kind of like, well, I just do what Marvin says. So But to me, that's already a veteran acknowledging, all right, something's not right here. Like, I need to be out there.
Yeah.
And maybe that's all you need.
If both are healthy, Jesse Bates would take George's position. But Sean has a longer history of injury than George Iloka by a long shot.
Right.
And if, I mean, you know, that's part of his issue. You can have your issues with if you have problems with Georgia's play. You have problems with the fact that Sean has trouble staying on the field 16 games a year.
Yes.
He plays a reckless style, plays an aggressive chip on his shoulder type game, similar to the way Vontaze Burfict does. And he's been banged up because of it. I mean, yeah, because of the way he plays. So, you know, there's a chance if he can't stay healthy that you're going to need Jesse Bates too. And then we get into the Terrell Austin. How much are we going to see potentially three safeties out there? That's a look that's popular across the league. How much will Terrell want to use that?
Right.
Paul G said he would do that a lot, but we never really saw it in games.
Put it this way, Paul. With this current linebacking core, I think three safeties is the way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that is a glaring weakness to me. Duke Tobin, I asked Duke specifically about it, and it was, hey, we like how Nick Vigil and Jordan Evans and Brandon Bell and Hardy Nickerson came along, and whatever, man. I know he's got to say that. They haven't shown that at all to me yet. Preston Brown, we know who he is. Vinny Ray, we know who he is. And for better or worse, Vontaze Burfict. So,
yeah.
So right now, I'm rolling out three safeties.
Yeah, I'm certainly experimenting with it in camp and preseason because, you know, there's a lot going on there. I think it's an interesting – one of the more interesting positions to watch. We kind of touched on this earlier, but we'll go back in on it. How will the right side of the line shake out? And we talked about how it needs to shake out quick.
Yeah.
And needs to happen in a hurry. I think we kind of took our bets back in the end of the offseason about where we thought this was land. What did you have?
I don't remember. Did I pick Bobby Hart?
No, I don't think you did.
I think I picked Jake Fisher.
No, I don't think you did pick Jake. Maybe you did.
Yeah, there's no way I
want
to go
back and check that.
Yeah, because the only reason I say that is because now I think I'm switching. I think Sed's going to win it.
You know what? I don't think it's impossible. It's certainly not impossible.
I think we can agree they would like one of their two draft picks to seize the job, right?
You don't want it to be Bobby Hart.
No, I mean, no. And
no. This team's in trouble if it ends up being Bobby Hart.
So, you know, we talked to Sed right before the break of minicamp, and it was a legitimate question to ask him. You know, when I asked, I was like, Cedric, you stood here a little over a year ago and said, I can't play the right side. Can't. I'm not comfortable. Left side's my spot. To just be like, okay, well, why are you good doing that again?
Yeah.
I think there's a variety of factors. People in that building feel, hey, you got to play the first time in his career. He's not handed a job. You failed a couple times. We didn't pick up your option. You're playing for your livelihood in a lot of ways. Maybe that's good. And I don't. There's some said momentum at the end of the mini camp, I thought. And I don't know if that was just
Jake wasn't participating and said was out there starting. But
But that's part of it.
I heard it where people were maybe excited about what he could be in this new system.
And that's the issue with Jake.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone loves the mentality, loves the physical traits, but yet you mentioned Sean Williams. Jake Fisher hasn't played.
Got a bad heart.
You know? Too. Yeah, and that's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's corrected and he's been cleared and all that stuff, but.
But you don't know. I mean, that's still a thing.
And, you know, he's had back and shoulder and leg, I mean, dating back to his rookie year. So it's you know.
You know, I'm not going to lie. And things could change dramatically because once the pads come on, it's all going to be different.
Right.
I think Sed has a good chance. If I had to put a bet down today. Of course, you know what we were putting bets down on this time last year? Andre Smith starting at right guard. That lasted a half a practice.
you're right about that.
And they're like, deuces on this idea. That was stupid. Why do we even say that?
But you know what? That's why day three of the first day of pads is important. And I think that's why they'll know. I think Frank Pollock's already got his sort of like penciled in right guard, right tackle, swing, backup. Because he has to. That first day and second day of pads, I think, is going to show because a couple of those guys have a spotty track record, right?
Yeah.
And
there's an understatement.
And a guy like, to me, I'll just throw him out there, a guy like an Alex Redmond, can really seize the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? By doing it the right way in pads.
Gun to my head pick, if I had to do it right now, Fisher, Westerman are my two on the right side opening day. But again, there's a lot.
I'll go Redmond.
This is going to be a daily.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a daily thing until they announce these are our five, I think, by week three, I would think. Let's talk about John Ross. Everybody's excited about what John Ross could be.
Yeah.
How fast does John Ross develop? You know, we saw flashes in the offseason program, but we saw raw lack of polish. We really didn't see a ton of playmaking. We saw some of it.
Yeah.
We saw, those are the traits that are why he was a top 10 pick, because he can do that. But how much of that do we see? And what does he look like when it is pads and it's press coverage and it's all those things? We don't know, because we've not really seen him participate. We haven't seen him participate fully in a camp practice.
No, because by the time he was cleared, they had already shut down the full public, right? Right before the Washington game?
Yeah. Yes.
So I
don't think he was fully
clear. Yeah.
Going so at that played, point anyway. Yeah.
So no, I mean, this is all, you know, it was always sort of the joke, right? The last few years, like, second year players are like rookies for the Bengals because they always, you know. I mean, it's just like William Jackson III. To me, it's the same thing. I mean, William got hurt the first day of contact his rookie year and missed the whole season. I mean, 15 snaps, that's essentially missing your whole rookie year.
Yeah.
You know, and starting your year with a shoulder and ending your year on IR to me is a wash. And you're right, we never see. I will say this at least, if you're a Bengals fan looking for something from us. Physically, he looks the part this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bigger guy for his size. He's more solid. He admits he was not that a year ago. I think he's in a better headspace. We'll tease that a little bit. He has to stay in that headspace. That's a chapter that can't be closed until he experiences some ups and downs. But you're right, Paul. You did see it. And what I'm curious about is Bill Lazor using him in situations, specialty situations. We talked about this a little bit with Tyler Eifert at times. John Ross might fit in there. If you look at him right now, he's the fourth receiver at best.
Yeah.
So what if you roll him out in a red zone or on third and three and he just runs a little arrow route or a little hitch and it's, I mean, that's setting him up for success and a chance for a breakout play, getting just a few. I don't know. I'm curious to see how this goes.
Because to me, that's the other side of this thing. Is, okay, we can talk about John Ross, and we can talk about health, and we can talk about what he can and can't do. Can we talk about if he's going to get an opportunity? Because that was part of last year, too.
Right.
I mean, this is still the same guy that was in the doghouse that Marvin doesn't have. Right?
Right.
So we're talking about, are they going to give him a chance to prove that he can be that guy? Or is Brandon LaFell going to continue to get shipped out there at age 31?
This is a great question.
You know, I mean,
I think it starts with, yes, Brandon LaFell is getting shipped out there. I think the leash is short. I think if John proves he knows the offense, I think they'll deal with the drops that we saw a little bit in camp.
Yeah.
Because that's a timing thing. There were times where John Ross was open, but it was a little behind him because, frankly, Andy hasn't had to throw to a guy who was that open that fast. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of it.
John's got to catch that ball. We saw that, and William Jackson let him know about it.
Yes.
On a couple. So, like, I think if John does that, that's better than Brandon LaFell or Tyler Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious if you know, Bob Bicknell and Bill Lazor are like, nah, this dude will live with the drops. He'll fix that.
Yeah. There's just so many things schematically that you can do with him that he can just do stuff that nobody else can do and make him easy. You know, some of those can be easy catches.
Yeah.
I mean, drag routes and things like that. I mean, stuff underneath stuff.
Right.
There's just stuff you can do with them. But so it's going to be really interesting to see how he handles that, how much opportunity they give him in practices, where he, how often, what is he running with the second team? Is he running the third team?
He's got to run with Andy. He gets not if they're shipping
11 out there. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
it's you know, we have dealt with this. You know, we see this year in and year out, where it's like
early vet days for 55 and 11
needs and 90 vet days.
Honestly, because you have to. He is not gonna get any better. This team is not gonna get any better if he's trying to catch passes
from Matt
wherever the ball's going from Matt Barkley and Jeff Driskel.
Yeah,
as you know.
Yeah, that's part of it. So we'll be tracking that, and you know, the preseason games will be interesting in that right. regard as well. Will John Ross get any snaps with Andy Dalton? All right. So our new segment we're doing out here, we got three questions. We're taking your Twitter questions that you send to us. So every week, whatever you got, you guys usually send us questions anyway on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or email or wherever. If you've got a question that you want us to answer, football related or otherwise, we'll get after it for you. We'll try to keep it quick. So we're going to do two football, and then we'll take one off the beaten path. So whatever you guys have, if you have questions for us, make sure you fire them away. Drop a hashtag BBP on there, and we'll go through. Maybe you'll get the shout out on the podcast. So we got to go to like one of our old, most tried and true followers and listeners, Matt Kramer.
At Mr. K. Cincy.
At Mr.
Egg.
K.
He's got to get rid of the egg.
Why are you an egg?
Yeah.
But don't turn it into a face of sunburnt Paul like our guy Jeremy Deal did.
That's great. I retweeted that.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't really been on Twitter. I've been in a hole for various reasons the last couple weeks.
You came out and poked your head up and retweeted a picture of me being sunburned.
Yeah.
That was a bad picture. It was more to do with the iPhone, less to do with me being sunburned, but my mother did immediately text me after that photo was taken of, hey, are you okay? Yeah. You should really be wearing sunscreen.
Right.
Which was fair. Hopefully we won't have too many of those this year. So Matt Kramer said, if Ross beats out LaFell, will they cut or keep Brandon LaFell? Yeah. And that's a big if.
I think it has more to do with less to do with John Ross, more to do with Josh Malone, Cody Kore,
Auden Tate,
and Alex Erickson.
Yes.
And I put the whole group in there because Josh Malone has more starts than all of those guys combined. I don't know. Alex Erickson has more catches. Cody Kore doesn't have any
catches. Tyler Boyd maybe has the most upside.
Right. Well, I think Tyler Boyd's on the team. So I think like the Brandon LaFell roster issue, to me, has more to do with those other four.
But my point would be, okay, so follow me on this one. You think Tyler Boyd can be the number two receiver, okay?
In targets.
I'm saying the general you. The Bengals say.
Bengals you.
Their starting two receivers are A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd when they're in two wide receiver sets. When they go to three wide receiver sets, it's A.J. Green, let's say then, and then Brandon LaFell and Tyler Boyd. And remember how much they were using Brandon LaFell in the slot last year?
Yeah.
So,
but that was when Tyler Boyd was in the invisible doghouse.
Right. Oh, yeah, it doesn't exist. So how many snaps are you really talking about that Brandon LaFell has that you can't just give to John Ross or Josh Malone? What is the real drop-off there? These young guys that have to be on the rise anyway. So then why are you keeping that $4 million on the roster? Just insurance? Just because it's a guy who can go out there and be just a guy?
I guess that's
what... Is Brandon LaFell really doing stuff that Josh Malone can't?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's the new part of this.
Yeah.
Right? Bill Lazor, new receivers coach, this win now. I mean, Brandon LaFell isn't the greatest blocker. I guess if you're doing some RPO stuff, he's a bigger body than John Ross, trying to crash down and, like, chip a linebacker. I don't really know if you want John Ross doing that. I mean, but that's your point of Josh Malone or Cody Kore, like that bigger body or Auden Tate. I don't know.
Is Brandon LaFell around for his blocking?
No. But, I mean, you're asking, like, that roster decision, I guess that's I guess they feel they can trust Brandon LaFell to do it if needed, and maybe those other guys they don't know. But that's what camp's for.
I'm interested to see if he gets pushed and how far he could get pushed. So second question was about the coaching staff coming together.
Right.
What do we make of
It was interesting.
How quickly that's going to happen.
It was in the context of the roster, the staff turnover a couple years ago under Paul Gunther, when it was Jim Haslett, Jacob Burney coming in as position coaches, Rob Livingston, and like, remember that? It was, well, it'll be good, but it takes time. They coach one way, I coach this way. It's the voices, and I don't even remember what week it was when it was finally like, oh, we're all on the same page, and at that point, you know, season was lost.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see, because Terrell Austin knew DC, but basically he was told, these are the guys. You want the job? These are the guys.
These are your coaches.
I mean, Dante Jones is really the only new addition, mm-hmm. and that honestly is more of a fit with Rob.
Yes.
In the back end. So, you know, these are veteran coaches. Terrell's veteran. I don't know.
It's going to be important.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're all also, there's a new system. You're all getting used to each other. Everybody, you know, on offense, Bill's getting used to a bunch of new coaches. On defense, a bunch of new coaches are getting used to a new coordinator. They're all getting used to new systems. This screams of, it took us 4 to 5 games to figure it all out.
Which
they don't have that kind of lead, not with that schedule.
No.
Not with Carolina and Atlanta, I'm not a believer in the Baltimore game.
I'm not a believer in the NFC South this year, Paul, but still, it's a bunch of road games.
It's the road games against Carolina, Atlanta, against Matt Ryan and Cam Newton. They're not going to go win if that defense is figuring things out.
Especially on that defensive end.
And especially without Vontaze.
Yeah.
I guess if we count him as a piece of anything.
I don't.
I'm saying.
Right.
You're also without.
He is one of the highest paid linebackers in the league.
Yeah.
So.
For what that's worth. So anyway, that's where we're at with that. All right, so at DD Merritt, appreciate you always firing questions to us, says, is mock turtle soup any good?
Well, I can't answer that question because I don't ever eat it.
You take a bite.
In the past, I have.
You have taken a bite.
It's
calf brain.
It's not good.
Calf brain is not good. But here's the, if you know, like, think of all the things you eat and you don't know what's in it, and you could find out that there's some bad stuff in it. Like, do you eat hot dogs?
No, I haven't had hot dogs since I was a little kid.
Really?
Hot dogs are gross.
You're gross.
Hot dogs are super gross, dude.
I'm not like all the time. I don't eat hot dogs a lot, but I'm not at a ball game. I'm a brat at the ball game guy. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I'm not afraid to eat a hot dog.
Yeah, no.
You seem like afraid to eat a hot dog.
No. It's like hot dog, skyline, mock turtle. It's all trash.
It was more congealed this year, man. That was concerning.
So what did it for me this year? So I can't speak to this year's mock turtle. When I couldn't break the seal, like I dipped my cracker in there and it wouldn't like go in the soup. Bounced off.
It bounced off.
Not for me today.
Yeah, it was. It does not look appetizing. If you follow us on Instagram, ENQ Bengals, the Instagram story has some up close and personal looks at exactly how bad it is, and Jim being unenthused by it. Yeah. But anyway, so I ate about half of it. It's not great. All right, it's not great.
Right.
I love it though. Because it's just the symbol of the Bengals. It is the most Bengal thing. No. Of the same.
Of change.
Of the factory of sameness. Of just how it just is always this bad soup. They just refuse. They just refuse to move away from it because it's the way that it is. And this is what makes them comfortable. And if they change the soup, then they're going to have to change the salad. And if they change the salad, they're not going to have the salmon. If you don't have the salmon, you can't have the sherbet, right? I feel like that's how it's viewed. So we've got to keep this soup. Is Marvin Lewis the mock turtle soup of coaches? Maybe they're going to keep the soup. What if they kept the soup but changed everything else, right? Is that kind of would that be the equivalent?
Beef and salmon and sherbet and salad. I'm okay with all that.
I know. That's my point. What if they kept the soup and then changed all the other stuff? That's my point. If they did that, that'd be like what happened last year.
Right.
I'm sorry. Anyway, all right. Let's wrap it up. Why are you mad?
I'm always mad. You know, RBIs make me mad.
People that get them?
No, people who say it baseball? That way. RBI baseball was great.
Yeah,
and you know why? Because it was written the right way.
Yeah.
Not RBIs baseball.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Runs batted
right.
in.
Right. I really don't.
If
I
anything,
really
it should be RBI if you were really going to get.
Yeah. For some reason, that really just. I hear that. It drives me nuts.
What if somebody calls it a ribeye steak? That's like baseball talk. It's like Little League baseball talk.
Weird.
Got three ribeye steaks.
Yeah, it's kind of
weird. Or should it be three ribeye steak?
Yeah. RBI, it's like wars.
Yeah.
RBIs. It's just, it seems petty.
It is.
But.
And it's not.
It does drive me crazy.
You're a grammar hammer, and you want people to follow the rules.
Yeah.
That's important.
I don't like that. I don't care for it.
You know why I'm happy?
No.
This delicious pork tenderloin I'm about to throw on this grill. This grill is piping hot.
It is
and
hot.
Ready to go, and I have a pork tenderloin that has been marinating for 24 hours.
That's the best kind of marination.
Oh, you got to give it time. You got to let it soak. So I'm about to throw that baby on the grill. We got some corn on the cob. We're about to eat right. We're doing it. We're going to leave mock turtle soup behind us.
Yes,
and we're going to eat right today. So we're about to do that and wrap this up. Again, we'll be back next Tuesday. So make sure you check out the BBP. Hope you liked our new music. I know before people had problems with the like T-Rex that was in the background of the song last time. It was a little bit distracting. Hopefully there's not anything as distracting as like the weird dinosaur screeching that we had in last year's open. And so anyway, if you have questions, just obviously you can always fire them to us. Follow us on ENQ Bengals on Instagram. We'll have stuff for you from camp there. Always on Twitter. You know the handles there. Cincinnati.com. Jim with a huge story on Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton that's coming out this week. Make sure you check that out. And, of course, all our daily camp updates on the site, on the app. Pick those up. And we'll talk to you next week. So, everybody, have a good night.